Mark 8:13. And he left them, and entering into the ship again, departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread. Neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. So I want to teach tonight for a little while on the subject, the Lord of one loaf. God bless you. Please be seated. The Gospel of Mark is a fast-paced, action-oriented account of the ministry, death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, and what was called among theologians the priority of Mark. Mark was probably written first of the four Gospels. It's a synoptic gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, viewed together. That's what synoptic means, the ministry of Jesus Christ. But Mark gets right to the point. There's no genealogies in Mark. He gets right to the point of the ministry of Jesus. And the key word would be straightway or immediately. He shows a very busy side of Jesus Christ, where John shows maybe a more unhurried approach in the ministry of Jesus. So in Mark, Jesus is busy going here, going there, doing good, and feeding multitudes. Mark records both feedings of the multitudes by Jesus Christ. So I want to go through these two stories leading us to Mark chapter 8. The story of the feeding of the 5,000 is recorded in Matthew 14, Mark 6, Luke 9, and John 6. So all four Gospels record this first feeding of 5,000. And it came at an inopportune time. There were crowds and people and oppressive ministry. They didn't even have enough time to eat at times during the ministry of Jesus. So Jesus got the disciples, the 12 I'm talking about, and basically said, we're going to go on a ministerial retreat. Let's get in the boat, travel over to Bethsaida by boat. And they got there and they were hoping for a little R&R, maybe some private instruction of the 12. This was that season in the ministry of Jesus. But when they got there, the people had anticipated where they were going, and they went around the lake on foot, and the King James says they outwent them. They beat them to where they were going. So when Jesus and the disciples got to this time, place of respite, there were more needs there, more sick people, more needy people, more hungry people. And so that's what they were greeted with on their little vacation that they were taking with Jesus. But the Bible said, this is Mark 6:34. I won't show all these verses. Usually I'll highlight what's going to be on the screen. When Jesus saw them, he wasn't aggravated. He wasn't disappointed, like, oh man, you know, can't catch a break here. We needed a little time away. But the Bible said Jesus was moved with compassion toward them. He said they were like sheep not having a shepherd, and sheep without a shepherd are wanderers, lost, no hope at all. They survive by a shepherd. And the Bible said that today was far spent. So all day long, he's been healing and teaching them many things. And it's toward the end of the day, and the Bible said that the disciples came to Jesus as if Jesus needed them to, and said, Lord, this is a desert place. This is an isolated place out of the city, away from marketplaces. And the time is far past. It's getting really late in the day. You need to dismiss church and let everyone go into the village so they can get something to eat before it gets dark and all the shops close down. Verse 37, the Bible said, he answered and said to them, give you them to eat. Sure. They said to him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread? Maybe that's all they had in the treasury. And give them to eat? And he said to them, how many loaves have you? Go and see. And they knew, and they said, 5 and 2 fishes. Now when you put all these gospel accounts together, we know Andrew, and there's a little boy, and his mom has packed his lunch. You would think that out of 5,000 people, somebody else would have had a lunch, but only one mom packed one little boy's lunch, and he's got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Now, these are not like giant loaves of bread like you buy in a store. It's what a little boy would take to, you know, church and just probably little barley cakes. One of the Gospels tell us barley was the bread of the poor and of livestock. So you just think of a dinner roll and don't think of, you know, a giant mahi-mahi or a tuna. Think of a sardine or a small little fish out of the Sea of Galilee. They caught, believe it or not, a lot of tilapia would have been popular then. So it's Andrew who asks about the insufficiency in John 6 and 9 when he says to the Lord, here's what we have, but what are they among so many? I mean, we don't really have anything compared to 5,000 people. So Jesus then began to manage the miracle, which is a lesson I taught months ago, Mark 6:39. He commanded them to make them sit down by companies upon the green grass. So it's a beautiful place, but he knows we need to organize this miracle. So I'm just going to do a quick review of that idea, that Jesus could have taken these 5 loaves, 2 fish, multiplied it, let them shoot out of his hands into the mouths of all the people. But he organized them. He had them sit down in sections. He multiplied, gave to the disciples gave to the people. And he didn't have to do it that way, but I think he was teaching something about how to take care of a multitude. You don't do it by yourself. You organize, you structure, and then you share responsibility. So they divided them among them all. All of them ate, and they were filled. They took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes, and they that ate of the loaves were about 5,000 men. And we learn from another gospel that it was plus women and children. Now, a long time ago, I had a lot of fun with this story. You know, was it 5,000? So if you just had one woman for every man, that's 10. If you had 1.8 children for every family, you know, now we're getting close to 20,000 people. So estimates are this could have been 20 to 25,000 people. But for the sake of the story, we're going to stick with the 5,000 men. We're not discounting the women and children, but you'll see why a little bit later. They had just seen Jesus demonstrate his power by multiplying these loaves and fishes. So after this miracle, Jesus sends his disciples by boat to go across the Sea of Galilee. This is really a freshwater lake, but rather large and subject to storms because of the landscape there, the topography. All of the winds come down from the Mount Hermon range, and in just a few minutes, the Sea of Galilee can be tempestuous. It can be like a hurricane is there. So there in the middle of the night, a terrible storm arises. Jesus comes walking to them on the water. This is a story where Peter goes to him walking on the sea and beginning to sink. Jesus lifts him up, and that's an amazing story. My emphasis is not on the storm, but it seems like all of this is happening around the Sea of Galilee. Mark 6:49, but when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled, and immediately he talked with them and said unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. And look at verse 52. For they consider not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Now, what is this? A storm and Jesus walking in the water, power over nature. What does this have to do with the previous miracle of feeding 5,000 people? But it seems that what the Lord is saying through the writer Mark is that if Jesus could do this, don't you think he could do that? If he could feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, why are you blown away? Why are you so shocked? Why are you so afraid that he has power that even the wind and the sea obeys him? Does God have to teach us a lesson in every area of our life, or can't we take his power and apply it and know that if he can do one thing, he can do anything? Amen? So this seems to be a challenge. That so quickly, now you wouldn't think of these men as having a hard heart, but something in them was not filled with faith. There was still doubt inside of them. They did not consider the miracle that had just happened. Amen. So A little quick review, right? 5,000 men, women, and children, 5 loaves, 2 fish. And then, so this is now moving to Mark chapter 8. So we were in Mark 6. We're not going to go very far till we're going to have the second miracle of feeding of a multitude. In those days, there were a lot of multitudes. They were great. People had nothing to eat. Sounds familiar, right? The disciples come to him, and Jesus says to them, I have compassion on the multitude. They have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. Now, we don't really know if they had fasted 3 days or if they had run out of food. Maybe they had gone into the villages. But nonetheless, it's the third day that they have stayed listening to Jesus teach, and they don't have any food at all. And then Jesus said, if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, and different ones of them have come from far. There's some people that are here, they come from a long way. They may not have relatives here. They can't just go back home for the night. They came a long way to hear me teach. And his disciples answered him, from where are we gonna get bread to satisfy men with bread in the wilderness? There is not a Kroger, a Publix, a Walmart. There's no Food Depot. There's no Dollar General. There's nothing. There's no produce stand out here. And there's 4,000 men plus women and children. There's thousands of people here, and this is virtually impossible. And some have come a long, long way to see Jesus. Now, I don't know. I'm just thinking that if 2 chapters ago, days, weeks, I don't really know for sure, that Jesus had just fed 5,000 and then he had stilled a storm. I don't know. I just might have thought, well, you know, maybe something could happen here. But not any of the disciples are like, they're not thinking that way. Their hearts are hardened, obviously, to the power of God. And so, Mark 8:5, and he asked them, how many loaves have you? And they said, 7. Now, we don't know if this is the lad 7, but now we've got 7 loaves of bread. So Jesus feeds these men, Mark 8:6. He commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and break and gave to his disciples to set before them. And they did set them before the people, and they had a few small fishes. So that wasn't in the original verse, right? So we had 7 loaves and a few small fishes. He blessed and commanded to set them before them. So now he feeds these 4,000 men, Mark 8:8. So they did eat and were filled, and they took up the broken meat, the leftovers, as 7 baskets. So that's pretty good, right? And they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. So this is pretty straightforward. 5,000, 4,000, and Matthew 15:38 tells us in this miracle, besides women and children. So the same goes here. Now, right after this, in Mark chapter 8, verses 10 through 13, Jesus gets in the boat again. There's a lot of boating back and forth across the Sea of Galilee. And they go to Dalmanutha, and they run into some Pharisees who are questioning. They want a sign from him. He just fed 5,000. They were not there for the storm. He just fed 4,000. And now he goes to another place, and they want a sign. And Jesus says, I'm not giving a sign to this generation. He left them, got into the boat again. Now, no miracle happened there. They wanted a sign. They didn't get a sign. And so now they're departing to the other side. They seem to be going to Bethsaida. So far, these are very familiar stories. I was reading my Bible. I was actually preaching in Stittsville, Ontario, and reading my Bible, and I saw this verse. This is years ago. I thought, wow, that's an odd passage of scripture. Read my Bible too lots of times, but now the disciples kind of have a break. away from people. Pharisees are left behind them in Dalmanutha. No storm, no drama, no miracles, no walking on the water, no mean Pharisees, just the disciples. And the Bible said, called his disciples, and this is the names of them. This is who is on the boat. Simon, that he named Peter, Andrew, his brother, James and John, who were also brothers. All four of them were fishermen, we know that for sure. Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon called Zelotes, Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which was also the traitor. Luke 6, 15 and 16 gives us their names. And so I'm going to take a few liberties. It's good to have all of our CHIPS kids with us tonight, children in the power zone. So I just want you to know this story is going to be accurate, but I'm going to have a little fun with the people maybe. So the disciples and Jesus are enjoying a peaceful cruise toward Bethsaida when the disciples realized that they had messed up. They had forgotten something. And they knew that somewhere along the way, they were going to need to eat. And they were worried that Jesus was going to bring it up. And so one of the disciples must have asked another disciple, hey, did you happen to go down to the market and buy bread? And Thomas said, I doubt it. I don't know if Thomas said that. That's the fun part. James Zebedee, he's one of the sons of thunder, might have raised his voice and said, Jesus is not going to like this at all. Now, the disciples were not prepared. Now, this is like one of the most basic, mundane stories in the Bible. But it's real to life. And Mark points out that these businessmen, this is Mark 8:14. Now, the disciples had forgotten to take bread. Now, ladies and gentlemen, these men's names are going to be on the foundations of the New Jerusalem. Jesus left his whole church in their hands, and they cannot even remember to stop by the grocery store to pick up some food for a trip. What kind of guys are these, you know? Sounds like some people you know. And they did not have in this ship with them not more than one loaf. Andrew brought the lad to Jesus. He's probably wondering why everybody else didn't do their job. And Jesus calls himself the bread of life. Somebody might have brought that up. I think Judas might have been complaining about all the giving of bread instead of selling of bread. You know, if you multiply all this bread, at least you ought to sell it, make a profit. You know, these people had money, I'm sure. So there's a conversation going on, and you'll see this in the verse. I'm not making this up. They've been irresponsible, distracted, forgetful, blame shifting. And so evidently they just made a little mutual agreement. Let's not talk about this. Let's just keep this quiet. Maybe, just maybe, we'll get across the lake, get to the other side, Bethsaida, and then we'll bring it up then, and then we can eat. So this is, they start then asking, well, does anybody have any bread at all? And the way the Bible says this, if you're reading the New Living Translation, it'll say one loaf. But if you read the other translations, it'll say they didn't have more than one loaf. So I don't know if like there was a souvenir from the feeding of the 5,000 that somebody had in their backpack and a souvenir from the feeding of the 4,000. But the disciples are privately talking. Jesus is not in this conversation. And somehow they come up with not more than one loaf for 13 men. And they realize this is inadequate. We do not have enough bread for lunch or dinner on this boat. There's too many of us, and all we have is just not more than one loaf. And they have forgotten, verse 14, now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. So it could have been less than one loaf. Now, this is all kind of like going on quietly, but look at verse 15. And he, Jesus, charged them out of nowhere. He charged them saying, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And the disciples, we'll get to this verse in a minute, they're like, he knows. He knows. He said that because we forgot to get bread. But that's not what Jesus means. Leaven is yeast. And leaven takes, you know, in the Bible, unleavened is pure and holy. And that's the idea. And leaven is a tendency working invisibly. It doesn't always have to be sinful. But he obviously means this. And if you read this and look in the Bible, Luke 12 and 1, the leaven of the Pharisees is hypocrisy. That you pretend to be one thing, but you're not really that in real life. Like maybe you go to church with the 5,000 and the 4,000, and you've got faith and all, but then you get on the boat where it's just the disciples and you've got doubt. And Jesus warns them against the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod. Now Herod was all about political expediency. It was about compromise for power. And so he warns them of this, and it just goes right over their head. They do not understand at all what Jesus is talking about because they have something else in their mind because they're all feeling really guilty because they did not bring bread. Mark 8:16. And they reasoned among themselves saying, it is because we have no bread. That's why Jesus said that. Well, if you'd have remembered bread, Judas, you've got the money. We wouldn't be in this predicament. Judas might have said, I'm the accountant. You guys should go buy the bread. More blame shifting. Now, in the Greek, the word reasoned is a discussion. It can be a debate. It can be a dispute. These disciples, and this is now, if you remember this, you'll know that I'm not exaggerating because the night that Jesus was betrayed in the upper room, these men are arguing about who would be the greatest. Remember that? So don't put it past them that these wonderful men are having a little discussion, blaming and arguing and fussing because two didn't bring bread and somebody's in trouble. And that's what they thought. And they're having this argument or discussion among them. Verse 17, and when Jesus knew it, now he knows everything, right? And he realizes what they're talking about. He said to them, why reason you? Because you have no bread. Is that what you think I was talking about? You think I said that about the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod? Because you losers? No, you guys forgot to bring bread on the boat? No, he didn't say that. That's not why I said that. And then he says, perceive you not yet? Don't you guys get it? Neither understand? Have you your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see you not? Having ears, hear you not? And do you not remember? Then these are indicting statements. It's like this little uneventful excursion has become a classroom. There's a heated discussion. There are some pointed words and questions from Jesus Christ. And he is going after their lack of faith. Remember, this is all about faith. He asked them seven questions. It's the barrage of questions. Do you not see? Do you not hear? Are your hearts hardened? And he just really bears down on them about their lack of faith and the hardness of their heart. Because living for God, whether you're at church with 5,000 and 4,000 or you're on the boat, this is a walk of faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. It's like they forgot what had just happened. They were part. I mean, they didn't just see it. They got the bread. They distributed it. Jesus included them in both of those miracles. Not just a firsthand eyewitness, part of it. And here's the boat gliding across the Sea of Galilee and sails are filled with wind and everything looks really good on the outside. But there's some serious, you know, stuff going on in that boat. So Jesus says, okay, we need to have a little review. Verse 19, he asked them this: when I break the five loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took you up? Now, doesn't this sound like this is almost condescending? Like, that's a dumb, why are you asking us that question? They said 12. Good job, boys. You got that right. Verse 20, and when the seven among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took you up? And they said seven. Right answer. So far, so good. The disciples are really proud of themselves because they got both those questions right. How could they forget seeing 12 baskets piled up with fish and bread, enough for all 12 disciples, leftovers at the end of that? And by the way, I think Jesus believes in leftovers and surplus. It's okay to have more than you need, all right? 4,000, they gather up seven baskets full, and all of the disciples are part of this. So what is the point? What is the point? Now, when the lad brought Jesus five barley loaves and two fish, and Jesus fed those people 12 baskets full, he feeds 4,000 with seven. But think about this. He started with less, five loaves and two fishes. He fed more people, and he had more leftovers. In the second miracle, he starts with more bread, feeds fewer people, has less leftover. Now, what kind of rationale is that? And I can imagine, especially Judas, thinking about how much money was involved in the feeding of the 5,000 and the 4,000. Now, this one's easy. If I'm feeding 5,000 men with five loaves, how many people, you know, am I going to use for that one loaf? 1,000, right? If you just want to do the math, 5,000, five loaves, one little barley loaf has got to feed 1,000 people. Something like that, right? That's how it breaks down with the math. And that's pretty amazing. But if I'm feeding 4,000 with seven loaves, that means I only have to feed 571.43 men with one of those seven loaves. I've got more to start with, fewer people to feed. And so that means I've got, you know, like only 80% of the crowd. I've got 29% more bread. I'm going to have leftovers. It should be that per loaf, I could have fed 428 more people. That's what the math is. I don't think he went through all that with them. But basically, if you have those same ratios of multiplying, he could have fed 3,000 more people. And so all this leftover bread, verse 21. So how is it, and he said unto them, how is it that you do not understand? Do not understand what? Well, how about this, boys, disciples? What about this, guys? My math is not like your math. Because if you're going to calculate, why did he walk him through those stories? When I fed 5,000, how many baskets full left over? 12. When I fed 4,000 with seven loaves, how many left over? 7. Okay, that doesn't make any sense if you're just going by logic. But in our lives, we try to think that God is always going to make sense. That when he's going to do something really great, we have to give him more to work with. But I'm going to say it again, that God's math is not like our math. His power is not limited, and it is not dependent on what we bring to the table. Amen. Now, Sunday, graduate Sunday, I might talk about what you bring to the table. But here's what Jesus wants them to know, is the magnitude of the miracle is not dependent on what you have. It's dependent on the need. It's dependent on my power, and I have enough power to do whatever I choose to do with whatever you have. There will always be enough. But here they are on a boat, 13 men, not more than one loaf. And they are worried that they don't have enough bread. They have just seen Jesus feed thousands of people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes and 7 loaves and a few fishes. Where was their faith on the boat to not say, hey, you know what we need to do, guys? We need to take this not more than 1 loaf to Jesus and say, we got a serious problem here. We're hungry. We don't have any food. Will you do for us what you did for those multitudes? But their heart was hardened. They did not have faith. They did not believe that the God that worked in Mark 6 and again earlier in Mark chapter 8 could do it for them. So I want to make a comment for people in ministry. And I'm not talking about licensed ministers. All of us that are in ministry, we get on the job, we're working, we're praying with people, we're believing that God can do anything. But I also want you to know, when you get in your boat, when you get in your car, your vehicle, and you go home, that the same God that worked at church can work in your vehicle, can work in your home, can work on your job. I think the problem with these disciples is they left Jesus at church, they left him at the ministry, but when it was just them, their hearts were hardened, they did not have faith, they didn't believe that Jesus could do a miracle for them. And the truth is, when they got to Bethsaida, if Jesus wanted to, he could have taken that 1 loaf and he could have fed 10,000 men or 100,000 people, because there is no limit with God, amen? He's the Lord of 1 loaf, of what you've got left. He doesn't need you to bring a lot to the table, to the equation, but just bring something. And if you have nothing, bring your faith. Because he created everything with his word, amen? Now, God has incredible power. Exodus 16:4, the Lord told them about the manna, I will rain bread from heaven for you. They didn't have anything. There was no starter, 5 loaves, 7 loaves. And John 6:31, Jesus looks back to that time in the wilderness, and he gave them bread from heaven to eat. A few weeks ago, I preached that, you know, the windows of heaven, that's where the miracle comes from. And God opens the windows of heaven. I wanted you to see Leviticus 26:8. We're talking about God's math, how God sees things. Leviticus 26:8. And 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. Now, in Leviticus 26:8, the first part of that says, let me see, it takes 5 of you to chase 100, but 100 of you can chase 10,000. The first part of that is 1 against 20, but then the odds change. If there's odds, there's no odds with God. Now, 100 of you can put 10,000 to flight. That means instead of 1 of you defeating 20, 1 of you can defeat 100. Now, but see, God's math is not like our math. So wait a second, God, in that verse, you're not making any sense. You can't extrapolate that. It didn't, what you took here with 1 to 100 and 100 to 10,000, you really need to get your logic together, God, because that doesn't make any sense at all. Deuteronomy 32:30. How should 1 chase 1,000 and 2 put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up? So in Deuteronomy 32:20, 1 can chase 1,000, 2 can chase 10,000, so it's 1 for every 500, and then it's 1 for every 5,000, multiplies by 10. But that's not the point. You know, to sit down and figure out, okay, God, you know, we got 300 in Gideon's army, so this is how big of a battle we win. That's not what it's about. It's about how big your God is. It's about bringing to God what you have, amen? Bring to God what you have, put it in his hands, and let him do what only he can do, amen? Remember Jonathan saying to his armor bearer in 1 Samuel 14:6, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. There's just 2 of us, but if God's in it, we've got this. Amen. Jesus was teaching the 12 that whatever resources you have, if you will place it in his hands, it will always be enough. And I said it earlier, but I want to read these verses now. Psalm 33:6. By the word of the Lord, not by a starter loaf or five or seven, but by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Hebrews 11:3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. In other words, God really doesn't have to start with anything but himself. Amen. My mission this evening is just to remind you, like Jesus reminded the disciples. Remember the 5,000, the 4,000. Here we are on this boat. Your hearts are hard. You don't have any faith. My mission tonight is to remind you that Jesus Christ is not limited by your limitations. I'm pretty happy about that myself. To know that he's not limited by my limitations. That it's not about me, it is about him. But it is about me having faith in what he can do and not letting my heart ever get hardened to the miraculous power of God, to not ever losing my faith by taking my faith home with me and to work with me and to school with me and to the world with me. Amen? Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Not how many loaves you bring him to start with. Because he showed us that I can start with less, feed more, have more left over. You just need to learn to trust me when you've got not more than one loaf. He is the Lord of one loaf. I don't ever want to be calloused in ministry. Jesus stayed compassionate. I was thinking about this. Worship team can come, give us a little hope. Years ago, I was preaching for a friend, and on the way to the airport, he shared with me that their church had a financial challenge, that week, their church, and I honestly don't remember this church, but obviously it would have been a little smaller church, they had $1,000 of bills that were due that week, and they had no funds in the bank to pay the bills. And as I was getting out of the vehicle to go catch my flight, you know, because I was going to leave it behind with him, I just said, and I feel like the Lord must have prompted this, you will pay all your bills by the end of the week. Now, I didn't have then $1,000 to send him, but I called him later and I said, how did your week turn out? And he said, I do not know how, but we did it. The money came in and we paid all of our bills. I didn't pay his bills, but Jesus Christ made sure that that church got their bills paid because our God will supply all of our need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. If you're able, please stand. I hope that these stories have increased your faith, that you've seen yourself in that boat with the disciples, maybe wondering if God's really going to be able to come through this time. And he reminded them of how he came through. But I'm not sure they ever put the pieces together and they took the one loaf that they had and say, oh, by the way, if you did that, 5,000. If you did that, 4,000. What's 13 people, one loaf? This is nothing for God. Let's always remember to have faith in God and put in his hands what is in ours. Our God is not limited by our limitations. He is the Lord of one loaf. Let's give him glory right now. I give you thanks and glory and honor, Jesus. Amen. If you have a few moments, would you come and pray? I want us to just come put our loaves into God's hands. Put our insufficiencies, our inadequacies, our issues, our challenges, our insurmountable human odds, no odds with God. And I want us to just put him in his hands and say, Lord, I believe. I believe that you are able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. Lord, I believe that you're able to meet the needs of our family. I believe, Lord, that you're able to meet the needs of your people. And so today, Lord, we bring you what we have. Even if it's almost nothing, Lord, and we put it in your hands, and we say, Lord, we have faith in you. Amen. Let's lift our voices to the Lord and give him glory tonight and thanks. Hallelujah.